Good. He's been good. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. We're going to make it through it. I mean, we may go up through it. We may leave out of here. If turn your Bible to Book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me tonight, please. 2 Thessalonians 2. I'll guarantee you one thing. If they shut the church down, I'll go find me a place and we'll start one. You count on that. Oh, yeah. You can count on that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together to Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Notice the word deception. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that has happened. Unbelievably. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's out there somewhere. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, nor that they might be saved. Note carefully. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, your holy word, blessed as it goes out, I'm happy tonight, Heavenly Father, simply to give it out. I'm happy. And I pray you'd bless it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Deceit, folks, characterizes the age in which we live right now. It's not coming, it's here now. We live in an age of deceit. We live in a time of confusion. God's not the author of confusion, but I've never seen as much confusion as we see right now. You and I both know tonight that something's happening. We may not be able to put our finger on it. We may not be able to explain it, but something is happening. Two-thirds of the people in this country do not believe anymore what the government is telling them. That ought to tell us something. People are uncertain. They're not sure. They're not sure about who to believe. They're not sure about what to turn to, what to do. Now, you and I tonight, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know where to turn. We get on our knees. We talk to God. He may not explain everything to us about what's happening, but we know who is happening. We know who's in control of all of this, and we know who's going to come and get us. You know, we've preached it. I've been preaching for 43 years here, about 45 total, and we've been preaching about the coming of the Lord, and He's coming. Now, He's coming. He's coming back. Not only when, but He's coming. If it's left up to me, he'd be here before the service was over tonight. But it's not my call. But he's coming. And the Apostle Paul here to the church at Thessalonica warns them. He says there's deceit coming. Let me give you just a little bit tonight of what's flying across the internet and the news wires and that people are dealing with right now. Right now. Just a little bit of it. Some are blaming 5G, the fifth generation. They say this is connected somehow or another with the ability of the Antichrist to surveil you, watch what you're doing, and even control certain aspects of what's happening. Listen carefully. I'm not saying I believe any of this, but I'm trying to show you the confusion that's out here right now. Bill Gates is one of the richest men in the world. He's a multi-billionaire. And this man has stated publicly that something needs to be done about the population of the world. Some people are accusing Bill Gates of creating a vaccine. And that vaccine will be used to do away with certain people because of their desire to get rid of certain people. I'm not accusing Bill Gates of that. But I'm simply saying there's a lot of people out there that believe that's what's happening right now. Some people say that this virus that nobody's ever seen, none of us have seen, you have to have a microscope to see it, escaped from a Chinese lab. Senator Cotton, a few weeks back, said that there's more going on than the news media is giving you. He says that this came more than likely from a lab in next to Wuhan, and not from a fish market or a fresh market, as a wet market, I think it's called, as some people say. And how do we know? How do we know anything? How do we know how to check any of this out? We're completely vulnerable to what's being said and what's being done. We just have to pray. We've got to really get a hold of God and say, Lord, what should we be looking for? They say that this was created as a biological weapon, that this is something, therefore, that we see the very beginnings of, that's going to be used as a biological weapon. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You know, they outlawed mustard gas in World War I. World War I, a lot of it, most of it was fought in the trenches. And they used gas, and it was a horrible thing. And so the Geneva Convention outlawed it. Now look what we have now. We have an enemy that you can't even see, but this enemy has brought the world to its knees. I don't know exactly what's coming of this, but I do know this. It is obvious that it doesn't take much if you've got the right thing to bring this whole world to its knees. Think about that. Bombers couldn't do that. Jet aircraft couldn't do that. But an invisible enemy has brought the world to its knees. And people out there are hungry tonight, and they're mad, because it keeps dragging on. They're doubting what's being told to them now. Some people deny that it even exists. They say that the COVID-19 is nothing in the world more than another form of the flu. There's a lot of that out there right now. People saying this. They say it's nothing in the world more than another form of the flu. It is a... They get into the technical terminology. It's a SARS virus. It affects your respiratory system. And, you know, they say that's all it is. And these deaths are, some of them say, are highly exaggerated, that there aren't nearly as many people dying as they say they are. They're saying that people, if an airplane crashes, they consider it a COVID-19 case or whatever. And I've read stories where doctors are saying now that they've been told to, regardless of how the person dies, to write it up as a COVID-19 case, that money's involved and big pharma's involved and all kinds of stuff is involved. See, what does that do, preacher? I read what one lady said today. She says, I don't know what to believe anymore. That's where they want you. That's exactly where they want you. They know what they're doing, but they want you to the position where you don't know what to believe. Does COVID-19 exist? Well, I'm not going to call these people a liar. It goes into a nursing home, wipes out the whole nursing home. It just recently went into a veteran's home, and it wiped out, how many? It was something like 3/4 of the people in that home. They're dead from COVID-19. But there's more going on than that. Some say that this pandemic is being manipulated by the deep state. Then there are those who laugh you to scorn if you believe in a deep state. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, whether you're Democrat or Republican, somebody tried to take this president down from the moment he was elected and sworn into office. They did their best over and over again to take him down. Whether you like him or not is irrelevant. He was duly elected by the people, and they tried their best to take him down. Why? Why? It's not because they disagree with his policies. There's no morality about these people. It could be, in my view, the reason they wanted to take him down is because Donald Trump is a nationalist, a populist for America. And the Democrats and the Republicans, both Democrats and Republicans, for decades now, have been selling America down the road to create a one world economic system. And they've also been working toward a one world religious system. There's no question about that. These two we know for certain. So what does it leave? It leaves a one world military, or at least somebody with enough vested within them to be able to control the militaries of the world. That's an amazing thing. I see that. Do I believe in a deep state? Yes. Can I identify all of it? No, but I believe in it. I know a 3-star general, and I have great respect for generals and veterans like that. I serve in the military. I respect these men. You take a 3-star lieutenant, that's what they're called, lieutenant general, 3-star. He commands men. He commands women, and he's responsible for the lives of a lot of people. And yet, this deep state went after him, the top echelons of the FBI, but I don't know that it originated with the FBI, but they meant to take the man down. Why'd they take him down? Maybe to get to Trump. I don't know. But I do know that what they did to him is unethical. It's the worst thing you can imagine doing to a man that spent over 30 years in the military. And if there ever was a patriot, he's a patriot. Yet that didn't make any difference to these people. Didn't make a bit of difference to them. Some say it's Big Pharma. Some say that the drug company's involved in this, and that that they're making money hand over fist because of the, they say, I read a thing where it said that if you're being treated for the flu, you know, you receive X number of dollars. But if you're treating for COVID-19, it falls into a completely different category, and you're being paid something like 3 times as much. However they work that. An amazing thing, don't you think? That it's become something like that. And then COVID-19, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, the death rates are inflated. That there aren't that many people dying. I've read where they say that once they get into the testing, and they haven't really completed all of it yet, but once they get into a universal testing of the United States, that they'll probably find that something like 70 to 80% of the people in this country have been infected by that virus and were asymptomatic. In other words, they showed no symptoms. And what does that mean? That means that it was far more widespread than we've been told, which means that the few people that have died from it in comparison to the number of people infected means that it is not nearly the killer that they said it was from the beginning, and that the people most vulnerable are my age and people mostly in my 60 up, and they have underlying medical conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, and respiratory problems, COPD, and so forth. How much truth is in all of that, I don't know. But here's the thing. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. There's some confusion going on. Do you get this? There it is. Somebody is pulling the strings, and somebody is manipulating this. All right? It begs the question, what do they have in mind? What's the end game? Where does this lead us? You see what I mean? How do you know then, preacher? You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us that. He said, you judge a tree by the fruit it bears. So what do you mean? What comes out of this? Who gains from it? Who benefits from it? What will it produce? How will your world change? How many of your rights that God gave you? Not the government. Government giveth and the government taketh away. And the reason they added that First and Second Amendment to that Constitution, because you needed some rights. That's why it's called the Bill of Rights. Freedom of speech, they're taking it away from you. They went into our high schools and into our grammar schools and they took prayer out. They took Bible reading out. They took God out as much as they possibly could. And they put Darwin in his place. Teaching kids are no more than glorified monkeys. We have to get religion out of the schools. Well, then why are you letting sodomites go in and teach our children? Why are you letting drag queens come in to libraries where you know the children are? You're hypocrites. You think we're stupid, and we're not stupid. They've replaced the truth with that. That's been going on for some time. Why? What's the end game? Where are they leading us to? It's an amazing thing if you think that somebody, some powerful group, is over what's happening to you. If it ever really got out into the mind and the hands of the American public, and they found out that this was really a conspiracy, But I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, I wouldn't want to be them. People in this nation will get mad. There's a woman locked up in Texas tonight. She has a parlor, a hair salon parlor of some kind. She's locked up in Texas for 7 days with a $7,000 fine against her. Well, what did she do, preacher? She told a judge that she had to feed her children. That's what she did. You know, she didn't stick her hand out. She said, I want to feed my children. I want to work. Take care of my kids. And they had this law passed that's not the same. You've got one here, one there, one here, one there. They're turning killers loose out of the prisons. They turned one rapist loose, and guess what? He'd rape the next day. They used to call prison penitentiary. You haven't heard that in a long time. You know what that word means? Penitence. Repentance. In other words, we're going to bring you in here and we're going to try to change you. And we're going to try to make a decent citizen out of you so that you can be productive and you can go out and live in society. And people won't have to be scared to death of you. So, this judge locks this woman up. She's in Texas jail tonight because she wanted to feed her kids. These draconian laws are from one place to the next. They're not uniform. The governor of Michigan says one thing. The governor of Virginia says another thing. The governor of Tennessee, and so far the governor of Tennessee's done fairly good. This governor does this. This governor does that. This governor does this. On and on and on and on it goes. Some of these demigods out here are really enjoying their power. They really are. I think when it comes to it, though, most of the governors don't have a clue of what's really going on. The power's higher than the governor. The power's a good bit higher. Now, why do I say all this to you tonight? I say it to you tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve told us it would be like this. But we didn't expect it to be so fast. We didn't expect it to come on us. How many of you were warned about this? When the Democrats were impeaching the President of the United States back in January, impeach, 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 this thing had already been turned loose in China back in October or November. It was already killing people. And Trump didn't find out about it. I think, what was it, the end of January or somewhere like that? And when he found out about it, he shut off travel into this country from China. I don't want to make it political, but I want you to know, folks, you're going to have to do some reading. You wouldn't believe the stuff I get. I was excoriated so much yesterday. I got a letter. This fellow took me apart. And he said, and what I had mentioned, what I had said was, when this first started, 6 or 7 weeks ago. You remember when it first started, 6 or 7 weeks ago, it was all about the health. It was about it being transmitted. It was about it being so contagious that we've never seen anything as contagious as this is. And so they want us to have social distancing, and they want us to be separate, and they want us to, you know, consider everybody else's health. It's not just you, but the other people around. So I said, well, maybe it would be best then to agree with these people and show the world that we're concerned about their health too. That's what I said. Well, he piled on me. He said, you've buckled under to Caesar. And, you know, and this and that. Well, now, here I am 7 weeks later, and I'm going to tell you something. I said things and done and did things 7 weeks ago that I'd think twice about now. You know why? Because they've said so many things up there that are wrong. First, you can't wear a mask. Now you have to wear a mask. Then there are models. They keep talking about model, 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 model. 2.5-3 million people are supposed to die. Didn't die. They sent a hospital ship up there to New York. Didn't use it. Franklin Graham went up there and built a field hospital. Apparently there wasn't that many people went into it. All right. And over and over, more and more and more and more and more, they're coming out with all this stuff, and people are starting to say, people aren't stupid. They're starting to say, now hold on a minute. You're supposed to be the experts. And yet you are contradicting yourself, and you're changing your attitude, and you're changing what you say. Now what's going on here? So are you in a state of confusion tonight? Don't know who to trust? Don't know who to believe? Well, trust the Lord Jesus. He's going to drive us to our knees. He is. That's what this is all about. The Bible said God's not the author of confusion. And believe me, we live in an age of confusion. Amen. but I'm not confused about the one I believe in. Wasn't that good tonight when Hannah got up here? That was God's gift to us. Yes, that's the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, you know who the Holy Ghost is. That was so good, so refreshing. The presence of the Holy Spirit. I hadn't felt that in here in some time. That was so good, so good. That's God telling you who you are. You belong to Him. You're His. And He hadn't forsaken us. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's the Parakletos. He walks beside us. He said, I'll give you another comforter. He said, when I'm gone, I'm going to give you another one. And He did. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come. And I'm sure Thomas and the rest of them looked at each other and said, who's he talking about? Comforter, what's that? But in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered together and they'd been in an upper room, there was 120 of them. All of a sudden the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came down like into cloven tongues of fire, and He sat down upon the top of them. And buddy, I'm telling you right now, it turned loose. They started preaching the Word of God in 16 different languages. Now this is where I fall out with so many people out there. These were languages. Because the people present heard in their own language the wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit shook places when the disciples prayed. The Holy Spirit opened up doors when the disciples prayed. The Holy Spirit picked out demon-possessed people when the disciples prayed. The Holy Spirit was with them from the first book of Acts all the way through the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit. And He's with us tonight. Amen. This was good for me. I needed this tonight. Amen. After a while, you get drugged down. And you know, it'll be awful hard now for them to come along and say, well, their numbers are ticking back up again. You all aren't going to be able to meet. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? That's when I'd say, no, wait a minute. Is Walmart still open? Target, is it still open? Planned Parenthood, is they still open? Local liquor store, is it still open? And you tell us we can't meet, but they can go in there? What's the difference? Now, I understand the grocery stores. I understand the pharmacists. These are absolutely necessary. I understand that. But you can't just turn around and point out the Church of God and say, you can't meet and all the rest of these people can, you see. Well, I didn't say that 7 weeks ago, but I'm saying it tonight. Like I said earlier, I've had enough of it. I've just seen too much of it out there now. Too much inconsistency, one of the biggest things. Inconsistency. So, buddy, His church is going to stand. Now, if you have to visit me in jail, why, come on. But I guarantee you one thing, I've had enough of it. We're going to meet. And we're going to glorify God. And God had something good for us tonight. Thank you, Hannah. God bless your soul. Oh, it's so good when you get around something real. Some of these churches, all it is just a performance. Just a religious performance. That's all it is. There's nothing real in it. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, He makes it real. Now I want to ask you a simple question tonight. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know the one who wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Get that right. Get that right. Get it right right now. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We know who's in charge, but we don't know what's going to happen. So make sure. He said, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking for Him. Hallelujah. I'm getting to where now I'll look out toward the east and I'll say, maybe today. Just like M.R. DeHaan was. Maybe today. Maybe today. Well, preacher, you sound like you've given up your hope in the world. Amen. Well, have you given up your hope in politicians? Amen. Well, have you given up your hope in professional science? Amen. I've given up my hope in this world. My hope is in Christ. My hope is in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm not mocking anybody. I'm not mocking this world. I'm not saying to you that I couldn't come down with this thing. I could. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck about it. But I know this. I know as long as I'm in this world, I'm here to preach and I'm here to pastor. I'm here to do what God's called me to do. And I absolutely, the most miserable person you ever saw in your life is me if I can't be doing what God's called me to do. Amen. Amen. So let the politicians play their political games and let all the rest of that garbage do their garbage. But we're going to come into the house of God and we're going to meet and we're going to praise and we're going to preach and we're going to sing and we're going to pray and we're going to have fellowship with the Lord and one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I feel better about all of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, bless your word. These good folk who came out tonight, Lord, they came out, they were blessed. They were blessed. We're so thankful. And then the good folk at home, Father, watching this thing over the internet for, you know, the Lord. Lord. You know all the reasons, Father. You know, we're not being critical of anybody. Bless them. Bless those who are watching tonight over their TV sets or the computers or whatever. Bless them, Father. Bless them. And we ask this now in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake I pray. Blessed be the Son of God. Bless His righteous, holy name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Bless His holy name. Amen.